MoneyWeb now on the money.
The show is brought to you by Stanlib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. Chatting with Rikus Vredes, PSG Hole-in-One Ramsig. Rikus, appreciate the time today. We were on BDTV last week and you were talking around all-time highs and you made an interesting point that I really liked. You say that far too many folks are actually scared of all-time highs. When you see an all-time high, you start to actually look for reasons to buy the stock, which I think probably leaves many people scratching their head because far too many people want to short it. And of course, that seldom works very well.
No, it doesn't. You know, we could talk for hours about this, but in essence, as far as I'm concerned, a market or a company's share price is underpinned by fundamentals, but it's driven by sentiment.
Yeah.
You know, market prices follow trends. And in the medium to short term, your price is not fixed where supply and demand comes together. You know, it's fixed by either your most enthusiastic buyer or your most enthusiastic seller, because the fundamentals don't change that much in the short to medium term. So what I'm looking for is an uptrend. And how do you define an uptrend? It's where your closing price is higher than your previous closing price and the low of your price is also higher than your previous low, and that's an uptrend. So when a market makes a new high, it follows that principle. And really, in essence, one wants to be in an uptrend.
Yeah.
An uptrend lasts for a long time, you know. So that's why I don't like being contrarian, because contrarian only works, you know, about 20% of the time when that trend changes because something specific happens with a company, whether it be fraud or a new product or anything like that. But otherwise, things tend to trend, and a higher high is just indicative of that thing that you're in, that price that you're in, actually going higher.
And I like your point there around sentiment. I'm a simple look. I like to buy what's going up because I'm on the right side.
Yes.
But sentiment, I mean, no one walks into a Checkers or a BMW dealership and says, charge me a price that's never been charged before, because you always want the discount. But if someone in the market goes and says, you know what, I will go where no one's ever been before, and people follow, that is strong sentiment. I mean, that is bullishness. And that is, to your point, the continuation of that trend.
That's right. You know, so that enthusiasm is just being displayed on a graph. And as I said, there's a buyer that's more enthusiastic than you. It doesn't mean that one has to not be aware of prices going far beyond what any fundamental value indicates. But why go against the market if you know that your chances of being correct, you know, that I am the one that's going to pick this top or this bottom, you know, it follows Pareto. It's an 80-20 game. You're only going to be right 20% of the time, and then you're probably only lucky.
Yeah, and it comes back to that point. And I like the prices are going higher. And yes, we get some prices that are eye-watering. We were both old enough to have seen some of those bubbles at points. But it comes back to what we started with, which is when something's in that uptrend, look for reasons why there's an underpinning to support it. And, you know, you were talking Amazon last week, which had hit a new high. I think it's just gone through $2 trillion market cap. There's a lot to underpin to say, hey, there's a good stock here.
I would actually switch that around a little bit. You know, when something goes to the new, I go and take a look, not why I should buy it, because everybody's going to tell you to buy it because it's an uptrend. You know, it's sentiment again. I go and take a look and say, why shouldn't I be buying Amazon? Mm-hmm. And if I can't find a very good reason, then who am I to disagree with what thousands of traders and their machines are telling me is obviously something where it's sort of bullish, you know, in an uptrend. And when do you know you should start worrying about it? When a price doesn't make a new high and it starts making a new low, when your closing price is also lower than your previous closing lower price, then you know that trend is changing. And then you've got to go and take a look and say, you know, is it okay for me to still be in the stock or not?
And there's something here, there's a debate. And for all the years in the market, I've had folks who are fundamentalists and they look at the dot and the ratios and the balance sheet and the flip side, the chartists who, and they've never liked each other. And you're saying, no, but hang on a second, there's something in both of these. And, you know, using them together probably going to make you a better investor and a better trader.
Of course, you know, it's stupid not to use all the tools available to you. And Dictic analysis, I mean, there's some strange things that one can talk about. But in essence, it's just a price, you know, displayed as a graph. It's just another way. And as of, you know, you can't argue against something that's going up. And this trend following that I've got, you know, it's an early warning signal as far as I'm concerned to go and take a look deeper into the fundamentals of a company.
And I like your point there, technical analysis. And I've been down these rabbit holes where you open your software and there are more indicators and oscillators and weird things than you've ever heard of. And I tried them and I made Christmas trees of my charts. And at the end of the day, I went back to, you know what, it's just price action. Keep it simple.
It's all it is. And as far as fundamentals are concerned, you know, it's the same basics there. You know, my main principle when I take a look fundamentally at a company, and this is, you know, I'm not talking about cyclical companies, that's a bit of a different game. But your normal, straightforward industrial type of company, is there a growth in dividends over the years? Because that's something you cannot hide from. You know, following that fundamental principle will probably make you wealthy. It won't make you rich. What makes you rich is something like NVIDIA, where there's a real change in a company's fortune and where you're either very good at fundamentally analyzing a company that probably nobody's ever heard of before, or you're just plain lucky.
Yeah.
But if you stick with basics, follow an uptrend, follow a company that increases its earnings and cash flow, you're bound to get wealthy, extraordinarily rich, which I said is more luck than anything else.
Yeah, and I like your point on dividend. Warren Buffett once said, the two things that you know are true in the set of results are the page numbers and the dividend amount, because you can't fudge those.
Fantastic.
We'll leave it there. Rikus Reuters, PSG, Hole-in-One, Remsich, appreciate the time.
That's our question today, LinkedIn and Twitter. All-time highs. I mean, I quite like them. And typically, if you buy a stock at all-time high, a year later, you almost certainly made better returns than you have if you bought it at a 52-week low. That's just the math. The question is, do you like all-time highs? Do you buy at all-time highs? Have your vote. Have your say. LinkedIn and Twitter.
The show is brought to you by StanLib. Visit StanLib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. StanLib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider.